Scripture this morning, this afternoon, Mark chapter 2. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It will be a little different. The Amplified Bible, Mark's Gospel chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Reading from the Amplified Bible. And Jesus, having returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was rumored about that he was in the house, probably Peter's. And so many people gathered together there that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he was discussing the word. Then they came bringing a paralytic to him who had been picked up and was being carried by four men. And when they could not get him to a place in front of Jesus because of the throng, they dug through the roof above him, and when they had scooped out an opening, they let him down on a pallet before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, their confidence in God through him, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven and put away." That is, the penalty is remitted, the sense of guilt removed, and you are made upright and in right standing with God. Now some of the scribes were sitting there holding dialogue with themselves as they questioned in their hearts, "Why does this man talk like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sin, remove guilt, and remit penalty, and bestow righteousness instead, except God alone?" And at once, Jesus, becoming fully aware of his spirit — excuse me, this is one of the downsides of having one of these electronic gadgets. All right, here we go. "Jesus, which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your sleeping pad and mat and start walking about and keep walking'? But that you may know positively and beyond a doubt that the Son of Man has right and authority and power on earth to forgive sins, he said it to the paralyzed man, 'Arise, pick up and carry your sleeping pad and mat, and be going on home.' And he arose at once and picked up his sleeping pad and went out before them all, so that they were amazed and recognized and praised and thanked God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this before.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank God that I'm not imprisoned by electronic Bible. Bringing your friends to Jesus. That's what I want to talk about. That's what I want us to be doing over this next month. I want us to bring our friends and our family to Jesus. In this text, Jesus is in Capernaum, and scholars think that he was in Peter's house. And the reputation of Jesus had gotten out all over town. Whenever Jesus was in town, people knew and people came from far and near to hear Jesus. And not only to hear him, but to they brought their sick and they brought their family members to be touched. They brought their kids to be touched and to be healed by him. So there they are gathered at Peter's house, and there's a crowd. You couldn't get in. And these four men decided to take their friend who was a paralytic. He was crippled. We don't know whether he was a quadriplegic. That means he had no use of his arms or his legs. We don't know whether he was a paraplegic, meaning that he did not have his use of his legs. But we know that he was a paralytic. He was crippled. He was stuck. He could not navigate. He could not get to where he needed to go. He could not get to the blessings of Jesus unless somebody helped him. Well, as I look out over this crowd, There may be one or two who needed a little help getting in the building, but most of us are able to navigate by ourselves. Most of us are able to get into this building by ourselves. But just because we can walk does not mean that we are not crippled in one way or another. There are people that's here this morning that's stuck. They can walk, but they're stuck and they're handicapped and they're paralyzed in their relationships. They're paralyzed by fear of knowing, how am I going to make it? It's a down economy and I haven't worked and I don't know when. And so they're stuck. People here this morning in a marriage, but they're miserable. Stop! People here this morning who's in relationships and have not felt joy in years. Pretending, but in pain and in misery. People who've been diagnosed with certain kind of illnesses, cancer, and they're afraid. People who've been diagnosed. People who are imprisoned by their past. Come on, somebody. People who have not forgiven themselves for what they did 30 years ago. Look at somebody and say, let it go, baby. They're stuck, they're stuck, they're stuck. And you know what? You cannot fool a real friend. A real friend will hang in there with you when the world walks out. Do I have a witness? Now you can fool me. How many of you know there's a difference in being a friend and being friendly? I mean, I can be friendly, but that don't mean that you're my friend. But a real friend will hang in there with you when it's tough going and don't nobody like you no more. A real friend, you can't. A real friend will say, you can't jive me. I know you. And a real friend. These four guys in the text, they knew this man. They knew him. He was crippled, and they heard that Jesus was in town, and they figured that it might be his last opportunity to get a healing. So they got together. How many of you know it's a good thing when you can get four men to agree on anything? Four guys, four soul brothers, they got together. They said, let's take our friend to Jesus. Now notice where they didn't take him. This guy had been paralyzed for years. He had not walked in years. They didn't take him to the club. They didn't say, come on, we're going fishing. No, they didn't say, we're going to a Giants game. They didn't say that. They didn't say, no, let's go to Atlantic City. They took him to church. How many of you know sometimes that's where your healing comes from? You can go have a good time in Atlantic City, but you're still crippled. But when you take him to Jesus, he knows how to work it out. So this guy took this friend to Jesus. And when they got four brothers, they're going to church. And when they get there, Larry, it's a crowd. And one of the brothers said, listen, the game is coming on. I'm going home. There's a crowd. We can't get in. I mean, we had good intentions. But another guy said, no, I took off this morning. We going in. I mean, this is one of my vacation days. We going to find a way to get this guy to Jesus. Because if we don't get him to Jesus, he might never get healed again. I can see them. It's a crowd and they're pressing their way in. And they can't get in. But they go up on the rooftop. and they lure the man down in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus says, now notice, Jesus, there's a cripple on a pallet coming through the roof. Jesus is preaching. If it had been me, I'm like, you're messing with my program here. Why did you get here earlier? But Jesus did not heal him right away. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Now, if I had been the guy on the pallet, I said, Jesus, I appreciate that, but I don't want no servant. Sir, I'm a cripple. I've been waiting for 60 years to walk. I got some places I wanted to go. I mean, I heard the fellas talking, Jesus, and I thought I just want to. Can you imagine where you might want to go, brothers? I mean, you haven't been nowhere in 60 years. Help me preach it. Just smile. You know what I'm talking about. And then Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. I can imagine early on the guy probably says, I didn't come here for that. I mean, I heard that you could fix up paralytics. I heard that you could speak to lame men and they'd get the use of their hand. I heard that you could speak to blind and they could get their eyes. I heard that you could speak to crazy folk and they'd come to their senses again. I heard that you could work miracles. How many of you know that you can be able to walk and still messed up? How many of you know you can go get your nails done, your hair done, drive up in a Lexus, and still feel like blowing your brains out? What we need is to know, we need to know just what that man needed to know 2,000 years ago. Your sins have been forgiven, and you are no longer held accountable for what you did yesterday. I'm able to set you free and change your life and transform you and give you a new life and make you a new woman and make you a new man. Give glory to God's sake. So this guy, he goes, how many of you know that every now and then God can surprise you in church? You go there looking for one thing, and he knows just what you need. Do I have a witness? You think you need your legs here. No, you need a heart transplant. You need to be changed on the inside. And once he changes your heart, he can change your mind. And he can change your life. And he can change your behavior. And then you can become a brand new person. So this guy, he goes there. His friends take him there. And it's good to have friends who can have compassion on you. Good to have friends that have conviction. It's good to have at least one friend that will pray for you. And it's good to have one friend that said, when the world, you know how folk write you off. Anybody ever had some friends you thought they were your friends and they wrote you off, but you had one that just kept on praying for you and just kept on pressing their way and just kept on telling you the Lord's not through with you yet and just kept on bothering God about you. And one day the Lord showed up and changed, said, your sins. Now, you know what? I don't always feel like I'm preaching, but when I said that, I know I'm preaching. Your sins have been forgiven, and you have been made right in the presence of God, and you didn't have to do nothing but accept Jesus Christ for it. You didn't have to get a college degree. You did not have to have any money in the bank. You did not have to get back to a size 6 again. You did not have to do nothing. All you had to do is say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself, where?
go. Give him praise. Give him thanks.
You know what? I used to think that if we just gave people a little more education, they'd do right. I used to think if we just make people a little smarter, if people knew right from wrong, they'd do right. I used to think if you just can move them out of the ghetto and give them a nice house and a nice plush yard in suburban Hackensack, and if you just send them to that integrated school where they're white folk and Spanish folk and black folk, that they all get together and they get on one accord. That's what I used to think. But you know what I learned? If you got money, you got to be saved. If you're poor, you got to be saved. If you're rich, you got to be saved. I don't care who you are. If you're size 6, you got to be saved. If you're big and heavy, you got to be saved. If you're in suburbs, you got to be saved. If you're white, you got to be saved. I know it, Jackson, you preaching boy. Go on, help yourself. Nobody else want it. Just help yourself.
The other thing
I like about this text. I studied this text. It says, they lowered the man down in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus says, because of your faith, I'm going to heal this man. Usually in the Bible, it says, if Jesus usually says, because of the individual's faith. But in this case, it wasn't the man. We don't know if he was a scoundrel or not. He said, because of the four men, because of your faith. I'm going, thanks be to God. I think my grandmother had something to do. Because of my grandmother's faith, he saved me. And because of my grandfather's faith, he saved me. I want to know, do you have enough faith that Jesus can save anybody of your free? If you brought them to church, would that be enough faith for Jesus to save them?
Then it says in this text, they brought the man in, put him down. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Anybody in here, does everybody know that you got a little saint in you? I mean, are there any saints in here? Well, in that same person, are there any sinners in here? The same one who claimed that they're a saint, you are also a? I just want you to get that right.
Said your sins are forgiven. And then it says that the Pharisees and the scribes, they're sitting around. There's always a hater in the crowd.
They talking about who? Who can forgive sins except God? Jesus said, well, you must not know who you're talking to. I and the Father, we are tight.
That's the Jackson translation.
We are one. Whatever the Father does, I do it. Whatever I do it in the Father's name. I can do nothing without the Father.
And then the church folk. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they would have been all right as long as all Jesus would have done would have been to heal his body. But when Jesus decided he gonna change his soul, they had a problem with it. How many of you know, back in the day when Marvin Gaye used to be singing, he'd sing about what? A sexual healing.
Bring your mind back. Now, some of us, we do need a sexual healing because we are messed up. We need to be set free from yesterday.
Let me tell you something. God is bigger than just your sexual, your libido needs. He's able to transform your heart and transform your mind and transform you and make you into a brand new person and give you a new start in your life and wash you with the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And that's why you and I worship Him, and that's why we praise Him, and that's why we give Him the glory, because what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The power, there's power in the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
When these good old church folks saw it, they said, "We ain't never seen nothing like that." Which is to say that they knew the guy. How many of you know that there's some scoundrels in this world? How many of you confess that you used to be a scoundrel? And fact of the matter, you're still in the process of working it out.
Yeah.
Hey! Hey! He's working it out! He's not through with me yet! He's still got some stuff to work out of me! And I give Him glory, and I thank Him for where He brought me from! And He didn't bring me this far to leave me!
This next month, I need your help. I need you to write down some folk that you're praying for. Write down some paralytics. Write down some folk who got some issues. Write down some folk that you want to lift up in Jesus' name. Write down some folk that you want to get a little closer to Jesus. That you will press your way. How many of you know a friend is interested in not only in your physical self, but your spiritual self? I read this story about Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson played for the Dodgers, Brooklyn Dodgers, way back when, first black to break into the major leagues. And you know, they used to call him everything. Call him nigger and can't play, and call him all kinds of coons, and all kinds of names. How many of you know you had to be strong? You think you could have took it? I know I would have been out the first game. He took it. But one day he's home there playing Boston, and it's a home game, and Jackie, he's out there, and they call him all kind of names, and he made an error, and a run scored, and they call him all these names. He's on second base. He said, and one of his Brooklyn Dodger teammates on shortstop by the name of Pee Wee Reese went over and put his arms around Jackie. And Jackie said it saved his career because he was going to throw in the towel that day. A friend will come put their arms around you. Sometimes as friends, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. All we know is the ministry of presence makes a difference. Just being there, just putting your arm, just crying together, just praying together, it makes a difference. Bring some of your friends to church. You can't make them come, but you can invite them. Call them up. Pray for them. Some of them have been unemployed so long, they need a job. But they also need the bitterness to come out of their hearts. Oh, I can be bitter. I can be bitter. When I start thinking about some of the things that Congress is doing, I can be bitter. I can be downright nasty. I can get angry. I can almost go overboard. I said downright.
bitter.
There are those, all of us need somebody to put their arms around us. Sing that song that Mrs. Merritt used to sing. Keep on looking up. Better days ahead. Keep on looking up. So they brought their friends to Jesus. And he not only got his legs fixed, but he got his heart fixed. He was made whole.